bring you greetings today in the name of Jesus. We're thankful to worship with you. Today, as we were walking in, one of my boys said, he feels like a stranger here. And I said, well, it's not really his fault, I guess. Don't come to church here that often, but we are glad to worship with you today. Can one of the children today tell us what the calendar says today is? Nobody. There's two up front here. Oh, there we got a hand. We're in the back there. Yes, sir. All right. Yeah, it's Mother's Day. That's right. Does that mean something special to you today? Well, hopefully our mothers are special to us most every day. We all have mothers. We all have a mom. And sometimes, well, our moms aren't perfect either, so we recognize that too. But I think most of us are thankful for good moms that we've had. Sometimes in different stages of life, our moms maybe don't seem as good as they should be. And sometimes age can change that perspective some. I should begin to understand my own, as I observe my own life, I begin to see my mother was actually a fine mom, because of the things that I still struggle with today as a dad. And it could be possible there's some here today that didn't have a mom, that didn't grow up with a mom. Maybe mom was there but absent. That's possible too. And so we're mindful of the hurts that are in relationships and families, things that cause pain and difficulty for us. I read yesterday that in churches in America, I don't think these numbers apply to our churches, but Mother's Day is the third most well-attended Sunday morning service. Christmas Eve, I think, is the most, and then Easter is the second, and Mother's Day is the third. And Father's Day is the least attended service. I thought about that driving up here this morning, but I have my conclusions as to why that might be. Maybe as dads, we need to step up to the plate and be more present in our families. But that's numbers that are painted with a broad brush. I don't know how accurate that all is, but I have a message today that is for our moms here today. It's for us all. It's a message that came to me from a character in Genesis. You can turn to Genesis chapter 16. Story of Hagar, and her story connected deeply to my own heart, not because of the same circumstances, but because of some of the painful experiences that she's had, and the misunderstandings and the confusion and the lostness that she experienced. And it could be this morning that you are not able to relate to this because you have not experienced this, and that's okay, but perhaps someday you will face some difficulty, some wilderness experiencing, and you'll remember the story of Hagar. There's a lot of truth here for us in our lives here today. I'm going to take the time to read this story, chapter 16, and then a number of verses in chapter 21. So in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 1, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai's And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me, for she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahairoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, Abraham, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. We have in chapter 17, Abram taking his household and Ishmael and circumcising him, and Ishmael was 13 years old at that time. If you flip over to chapter 21, and we're going to jump in at verse 9, Isaac had been born. And the day that he was weaned, Abraham made a great feast. And in verse 9 of chapter 21, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife. out of the land of Egypt. And that's where we will stop. There's times in life that we face hurts and disappointments, and we face emotional pain and suffering, and we wonder if we're accepted with other people. We wonder if we're loved, and we wonder if it's worth everything. Like, is it still worth going to church, being with people? And the more we crave that acceptance and that love, we want that from other people, and we go after that in ways that to those that we're seeking love and attention is provoking to them, and they don't accept us very well because of it. And it can turn into this snowball effect where we're suffering, we're wanting love, but our ways of getting that is not appreciated and it's not accepted, and it turns into being a big problem. And we need to somehow break that cycle and find help. And this story in our Bible, I believe, is a story for us. It's a gift from God to us, especially for those who have faced a lot of difficulties in life and the feelings of being inferior and craving acceptance. And a lot of that can stem from things that you didn't even do, things that you're not even responsible, like this Hagar. Like, she wasn't really responsible for this situation. These hurts came from good people, from a man and a woman of faith that Hebrews chapter 11 record for us. And so it's really possible today to face conflict and hurt, even by good people. And so perhaps you wonder, maybe you have wondered, like, does God see me? Does God care about me? Does he see the tears that I cry that no one else maybe sees? And does he hear my cry? Does he see the burden that I'm carrying, the weight that's on my shoulders? And perhaps you feel forgotten, or you feel like you're just stretched as thin as you're going to be able to go, and you feel tired. And so the question or not, does God care about my situation? Does he see me? This story answers that question with a loud and a resounding yes, that God does see. And God does care about that. And today, if you're a mother here today and you feel overwhelmed and maybe sometimes alone, here is a mother in Scripture to encourage you and to give you strength when you feel like that. We all have days like that, I suppose. Hagar is not your typical mother that you want, that you lift up. Maybe we should lift up, you know, Hannah or Mary or some other, you know, great woman. But I think this woman has something for us that we can relate to, can help us on our journey. This woman wasn't an Israelite. She wasn't one of God's people. She was an Egyptian. She was a foreigner. She was a servant, a slave. And she was a woman that was used by others' decisions. She didn't have a voice in this occasion. She was the servant, the slave. Somebody else chose how to use her, what to do with her. And so here she was expecting a baby in a situation that she didn't really vibe for. Like, she didn't ask for this. She wasn't trying for this. But this is where she was. Perhaps as a mother or any of us, perhaps life is not going just like we had thought it would, like we had planned or that we had hoped. It's not working out quite like we thought. And perhaps you carry burdens today that you didn't really choose to carry. but there are weights that press in on you, things that you deal with. Perhaps you feel some days and you're afraid that you're not enough. You don't reach around enough. You ever get that feeling? You're just not sure how you can take care of all of these needs. You just can't do it all. And you go to bed a little fearful that you're not reaching around. Or perhaps you feel pressured. Maybe you feel pushed around. I wonder if that's how she felt, just sort of pushed around, like she was a piece of property, just a slave, just used for their own purposes. Maybe that's how you feel. Used, pressured, manipulated. Well, Abraham tells his wife how to deal with this. This Hagar, she became pregnant by Abraham, and then she was despised and hated. Sarah just couldn't stand her no more. And Sarah recognized there's a problem here. Abraham said, you know what? You deal with her as you think, as you see best. And she dealt very unkindly with her. In verse 6 of chapter 16, and we have this Hagar that she ran away. She ran away because I don't know what she all thought. I think she was really wounded. I think she's really hurt in this situation. She's trying to figure this out. It wasn't really her fault that she was where she was. And here was her mistress really being mean to her, really being harsh to her. She ran out into the wilderness. And perhaps we feel those wilderness experiences. There's moments, there's days, there's weeks, perhaps there's years of that in our lives that we reflect on. She ran out into the wilderness, and our Bibles tell us that God found her. God found her in the wilderness. She wasn't really looking for God. I don't know what her concept was of God. I don't know how much she was taught, how much she knew, but God found her in the wilderness. And the angel of the Lord came unto her. This is the first place in our Bibles that the angel of the Lord came to an individual. And he came to a hurting woman, a slave, an Egyptian in the desert. And he speaks and has conversation with this unlikely woman. He heard her cry, and he came and he asked her two questions. In verse 8, he says, you know, where did you come from and where are you going? And the angel of the Lord wasn't really asking those questions for information from her, like so he could understand the situation better. It was more an invitation for her to like open up and to tell the story. Tell her story. Where have you come from? Where are you going? And sometimes we just need that, like a caring friend, it may be the angel of the Lord, that comes to us and says, hey, look, like, how are you really doing? Like, we care about people. Someone to listen to us. We all have stories to tell, don't we? Some of us have longer stories. We're all writing a story ever since the day you've been born. And those stories aren't perfect. Some maybe are more perfect. Mine isn't very perfect. But we need people to come into our lives to ask us some good questions. People that we feel accepted by, we can feel loved by, then we can be comfortable with and have confidence in them. That just stays with them. Our stories sometimes reveal deep hurts that we have experienced and wounds that are in our lives that we're searching for healing. We don't know how to handle some of the things that come to us. We don't know what to do with all of the things that are in our life. Sometimes we need more help. We need somebody to listen to us and give some direction to us. Well, here was the angel coming to her. And she says, look, I'm fleeing from the face of my mistress. The angel tells her to go back, to submit herself unto Sarah, and he gives her a tremendous promise. Verse 10 says, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. I think Hagar thought her story was sort of over. Like, right? Like, what's next? She didn't know what was next. How could she move on from this? How could anything worthwhile come from this? And that's how sometimes you can feel. That's sometimes I can feel. I wonder what this is going to do. Like, what good can come from this experience? But God is extending hope to her. He extends some light to her. He gives her this tremendous promise that she probably had no idea how in the world that was ever going to be. A nation from a slave girl, an Egyptian, a nation that you couldn't count. Well, our Bibles today have many precious promises in for us as children of God. And they can bring some hope and they can bring some light on our journey. They're promises for us. So find the promises in your Bibles, underline them, write them down, highlight them, memorize them. They'll get you through some dark days. Well, in verse 13, Hagar says, she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. And that is the title of the message. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that, but Thou God seest me. And I wonder if that's not one of the most beautiful testimonies in Scripture. That Hagar became really pressed in upon, and she realized that somebody did see her. That God saw her. You are the God who sees me. The Hebrew word for that is El Roi. She gives God a name. She gives God a name. Up to this point, God gives to us his names. He tells us his names in Hebrew, some of them. They're beautiful, they're majestic, they're powerful. He's the creator. But here, this Egyptian, this slave girl that ran away from her mistress is in the desert. God allows her to name him. And she says, Thou God seest me. You are the Roi God. That's who you are. You're the God that sees. This God is personal, and he's intimate, like with you as an individual. That's what Hagar became gripped with in this account, was how personal God was, how he was able to see her situation perfectly. He understood her. He knew exactly what she was facing. Thou God seest me. I don't know, like, what name would you give God if you had the opportunity to name God? What would be the testimony from your lips? What would be the testimony from my lips? As you think about your Heavenly Father, what name would you give to him? Maybe it's the God of comfort. Maybe it's the God of grace. Maybe it's the Father of victory. Maybe it's the God of second chances. We've all had some of them, right? I don't know what you would name your Father. But Hagar, she named him, You are a God who sees. You are a God who sees. Do you believe that today? Do you really believe that God sees? There's days you wonder perhaps if anyone sees, let alone God. Like, you wonder if nobody probably knows what's going on. I think that's how Hagar felt. But in that wilderness experience, she became pressed in upon this God, this personal God, this intimate God. He was with her in this place in the desert. How unlikely is that? And so you may be in an unlikely place, in an unfortunate situation. And you may be confused. You don't know which way to go either. You don't know where you're going. But you have a God that sees you. That should bring some comfort to us. This expecting mother with hurts and pain in her life. And she discovers that there was a God who saw. A God who saw her tears and heard her cries. We all have this fundamental, basic need of being seen. We all need to be seen. And we crave that, to be seen. Here was a God that heard the cries that Abraham didn't hear in his tent. She was away in the wilderness. Here was a God that understood burdens that she carried that probably no one else understood. Here was a woman that God saw value in, a woman that God looked out for. Even though a godly woman in her life despised her. Sarah despised her. But God saw her. And so, mothers today, God sees you too. He sees the late nights, the middle of the nights, the early mornings. He sees the sacrifices. He sees the silent battles. Sees the pain that you may have in your life. He sees you when you feel like you're taken for granted, you're just not appreciated, not seen that much. He sees the grandmother that's praying for wandering children, for a wandering child. He sees those who long to be a mother but are not. He sees the foster mothers, the adoptive mothers, the spiritual moms. He sees the mothers who've lost children. It's a God who sees. It's a God that sees today. In America today, there are a lot of hurting women and children in our society that live right next door to us. You see that with the Thursday church work. We see that with the children that come to us at Kirkwood from Quarryville. I think all of them come from a home that is broken. There's a lot of crying out there in this world today. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of tears. There's a lot of women today who are finding themselves in difficult and hard places. And they feel used and abused by men. And sometimes that picture, I guess, to me seems so big and so overwhelming. You don't know how in the world how could I ever help that? Well, I don't know for sure, but I'm thankful today for this God of Hagar. He is still the same God today, and he still sees. He's the God who still sees today. He still sees this brokenness in relationships and in families and in homes. And he sees the innocent when they suffer and the pain that's in their lives. And as godly men today, we're called to. We're called to protect and to treat with great respect the mothers and the girls that God has placed around us. And as men, we need maybe some high guardrails, some high boundaries in this area. There's some things that you and I there's some lines we won't cross. So we understand the devastation that this causes. It's a young Amish father. He works at Oxford Cabinetry. Last couple years, married about two years now. It's a small child. But about a year ago, he made a really foolish decision. And he crossed a boundary that he should never have crossed. Well, Friday was his trial, his court hearing. Three counts against him today. He's his second day in jail. Handcuffed him, tuck him away. And I don't know, I guess all of us maybe should see that. That would maybe wake us up to some of this. We can't mess around with these things. We just can't. We can't afford to. We need to walk high above some of this. Even after this young father is free from prison, he's going to be marked for years. Marked for years by his sin, by the boundary he's crossed. How can he be trusted again? It's going to be a bitter reaping. We also think about the victim of that unfortunate situation and the pain and the hurt and the wounds that are in their life and the healing that needs to happen from this. Well, God sees today those people that hurt because of that. Those people, innocent victims that have experienced a lot of difficult things. That was just a bit of a side note for us all, for us men. We need to walk a holy road. It's a high road. We need to be open to each other, with each other, but look, if there's things we're struggling with, please open up to somebody about it. Like, we need to help each other. We need to help each other. This journey isn't worth traveling on. So today, this mother Hagar, she was in that wilderness, confused and hurt and not sure which way to go from here. And God came to her. And so God still speaks today to mothers, to all of us who are facing wilderness experiences. He hears the affliction. That's what God hears. He sees the affliction. That's what he saw in Hagar's life. He saw how unfair this was. He saw her affliction and he came to her. And so God sees the pain that perhaps you don't understand, that you don't have words for. He sees your fears of not knowing what to do next. He sees the things that trouble you and keep you up at night. That's our God today. He's still the same God. Well, chapter 16, this was her first wilderness experience. Another one was about to come. But she left that wilderness experience with the testimony that thou God seest me. That was her testimony as she went back under Sarah's hand. And I don't know how that all worked out, but it must have worked out for a number of years. Perhaps this got her through those couple of tough years. I don't think it was an easy walk. I think it was tough. I think it was a hard walk. We go to chapter 21. We have another wilderness experience happening to the same unfortunate woman. This time she was not by herself. She had her son with her. She had her son with her. There was a lot of stress in the home because of this situation that should have never happened. And God told Abraham to let her go. Abraham did. He gave her the bottle of water and some bread in verse 14 and sent them away. I'm not sure how long that bottle of water lasted and that bread lasted, but she was in this wilderness again, and she had no bread and no water. Her resources were completely exhausted. And she didn't know what to do again in this situation. And this is, one of the most desperate places in our Bibles. Like, she put her son under a shrub. In verse 15, he's going to die. And she couldn't bear that. She couldn't bear that. She walks away and leaves him by himself. And she's over a bow shot away, so she couldn't hear the crying. This wasn't a baby. This was at least a 13-year-old boy. Sometimes in life as a mother, you don't know really what the best thing is for your child. You don't know the best way to help them. You don't know what to do for them. You don't really know. I think that's how Hagar felt. She didn't know what to do. Some days we feel like that. We just don't know what to do. I'm not sure you're going to be able to keep on going. I don't think Hagar thought she could go any farther. This was the end. This was over. She was done. Her story was over. You know, God, you're seeing me, you said, but it doesn't look like you are at this point in my life. This looks like this is it. We have the cry of the mother in verse 16. She lifted up her voice and she wept. And we have the cry of the boy. God heard. God heard those cries. He heard the cry of the lad, Scripture says, and he came. The cry of the boy. And there he was. Tells Hagar, look, you go back to your boy, you pick him up, hold him by the hand. I'm going to make a great nation from you. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. She goes back to her boy. And in verse 19, God opened up her eyes. And she saw a well. There was a well. And she filled the bottle with water again. The well was always there. She didn't see it, though. That's how it is sometimes for us. There is provision for us. There's a well there for us in our hurt and in our desperation. We can't see it. It's hard for us to see the well. But God had a well there for her. And that's how often God still provides today. His provision isn't some great miracle or something new, but his provision is he opens your eyes to a well that is close to you, that will sustain you through this time. And so there's a well in the desert. Yep, that's it. There's wells in the desert, and we find ourselves in desert places sometimes, but God has wells there for us. These are wells that in our weakness, God will make us strong. These are wells of grace when our lives feel chaotic and out of control. These are wells that give hope to us, even when our hearts are breaking. And sometimes we need somebody else to show us. There's a well here, brother. There's a well here, sister. God has a well there for you. No, he'll get you through this day. Well, the truth this morning is that God, this God of Hagar, he really loves taking really difficult stories, bad decisions that people made, painful experiences, and he loves to redeem them. That's what he loves to do. Things to us that seem impossible. There's really no way this is ever going to work itself out. We still serve the same God today, the God that can take an impossibility that we think, and then he can create, he can bring something beautiful out of that. The story may not be over yet. The story is not all told. So Hagar, she walked into the wilderness believing that she was alone, that no one saw her, but she became convinced that someone did see her. And she had a testimony that she was seen and that she was heard and she was carried by God. And today, as a mother, perhaps you do feel like a failure. We maybe all face that at times. Maybe your family isn't what you think it should be. Maybe your family relationships are broken. Perhaps it is. Perhaps you think it's too late. But may this story stir confidence in us and faith in us and hope in us that God of Hagar, he's the God who sees. You are the God who sees me. It's a personal God. God will meet you in your wilderness journeys. He will sustain you through those times. And they're not easy times. They're hard times. But he'll provide enough grace, enough strength, and enough hope to bring you through it. So may you take courage today and keep pressing on. May you see the world through those lenses, through the lenses of a God who sees, and a God who cares, and a God who can take a very difficult journey and past and create something beautiful out of it. And make of them a great nation, child of his, family of his, generations that follow him, from those who connect to a God who sees. God bless you this week as you journey on.